Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan, your host here on the podcast, and welcome to Super Bowl week as we just days out here from Chiefs and Niners getting it on in Las Vegas. Last week, we touched on our early bets, the early odds, the novelty markets, which I probably have more action on than I really should. But if you missed that episode, you can go back and listen to it after we're done here and catch up on that. A lot of useful information. Today, we've got a big show for the big game. Joe Osborne is going to come back. He's going to share some of his later Super Bowl wagers. We're going to talk a little Super Sunday strategy, some how-tos for betting the big game. We're going to take a look at next year's NFL futures. And, of course, we're going to have our Sharp 600 boosted SGP for Sunday's championship game. We're going to dig into both Kansas City and San Francisco with the help of some expert team bloggers. We got Jordan Foote from Arrowhead Report. We got Kyle Posey back from Niners Nation. And then Aaron Waterworth, trading manager for Bet365. He's going to come in here, give his insights into the odds and the action, all hitting into the two-minute drill. Before we start, we always ask, if you've been listening to the podcast, if you're just finding us for the first time now as you get ready for Super Bowl, let us know what you think. Please rate and review the Sharp 600. Those that have already done that, we appreciate that. We appreciate that feedback. Let us know what you want to hear here in the post-football pods. What are you betting? What do you want to know about? What do you want more of? Let us know. We appreciate that feedback. All right. It's been 2 weeks of ramp up. Let's get into it. Super Bowl 58. Back again to talk San Francisco 49ers as I got Kyle Posey from Niners Nation. KP joined us for the Thanksgiving podcast. And I believe you dropped a couple winners in that one, didn't you?
We did. Debo Samuel cash in the second quarter, baby.
Whew. I got that one easy. That was done before dessert was done on Thanksgiving. Kyle, we definitely appreciate your time. I know you're in Las Vegas covering the big game as well, too. So I know it's a crazy week for you. Thank you for coming back on the pod.
Yeah, no problem, man. I love you guys. So thanks for having me.
All right. So perhaps the biggest debate heading into Super Bowl is that the wrong team is favored. We saw the move towards Kansas City with the odds. San Francisco, a slim favorite right now. Why do the 49ers deserve to be the chalk in this game?
Yeah, I mean, with the Lions, you always remember the last thing you saw, right? We've seen the Chiefs defense hold the Ravens to a touchdown in the second half. They only scored 10 points. The Bills scored one touchdown in the second half. The Dolphins scored once on 11 drives, which is kind of insane. And you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Andy Reid, they're off a bye, and everybody loves to tell you what Andy Reid's record is off a bye. But I don't think Kyle Shanahan's going to forget to run the ball in the second half like the Ravens did. Brock Purdy, if he throws the ball 40 times like Josh Allen did, he's not going to throw the ball under 200 yards. And the Dolphins were pretty banged up. They had a lot of injuries, and we have no evidence of the 49ers scoring once in a game like the Dolphins did. So I just think, I mean, if we're thinking of, in terms of the line, a month ago, this was 5.5. Like, that was the look ahead. Mm-hmm. So now we're under a field goal, whether it's 2, wherever. I'm sure you can get 1.5 if you shop around now. But it's weird to say, like, when we're talking about the offensive side of the ball, that this is a step down in class for the 49ers, I would say, when they're going against the Chiefs offense. And there's no doubt the Chiefs defense is legit, but this is far and away their biggest test. But I just think in that sense, like, when you think about what these teams have done all season long, like, the 49ers are clearly the better team.
All right. So perhaps the biggest challenge is a 49ers defense that anchors itself in zone coverage, which is not what you want when playing Patrick Mahomes. Can defensive coordinator Steve Wilks, can he get out of his comfort zone and run a little man? We saw him running more man press towards the end of the year. Are they comfortable running more man in this situation?
Yeah, I don't think so, man. And that's going to be the reason this game is close, right? Because he's gone out of his way during the season just to protect the secondary. Like, he lives in zone coverage. That's what he does. I think it would be a massive mistake, as you said, to just sit back in zone and let Patrick Mahomes pick you apart. The reason that they should go in man is because, like, when you watch the Chiefs, Mahomes trusts two players to throw the ball to, and that is as clear as day, too. So Kelsey's as good as gets when it comes to finding a hole in the zone. I think when I think about this game, D'Amico Ryan's, like, using what the Texans did against the Ravens. Like, he went out of his shell. He was known for not blitzing at all, and they blitzed Lamar Jackson 70% of the time in the first half. I'm not saying that Wilkes has to play man coverage 70% of the time, but you can't wait till you're down 2 scores, 1 score, like they did in the playoff games, to run man coverage. So it would be a mistake. He can't wait to make that adjustment. But to answer your question, I just really don't think that that's what they're going to do. But Wilkes has to get uncomfortable to make Mahomes uncomfortable.
All right. We talked at Thanksgiving. One thing that I took away is that you said we get alternating big games from Debo and Brandon Ayuk. And both had a pretty solid showing against Detroit. I may have a vested effort in one of these wide receivers. Which guy shines brightest here on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, the Chiefs live in man coverage. And when Brock Purdy sees man coverage, he looks towards number 11's way. Like Brandon Ayuk is his go-to guy. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a Debo day. He's their tone setter.
I thought you were going with me on that.
When the 49ers want to prove a point, they give the ball to Debo Samuel. Legarius Sneed is as good as it gets as a man coverage corner. He travels with the best receiver. So, in my mind, Spag's going to try to take or eliminate Ayuk in that sense. And the Chiefs, like, they're above average in essentially every stat when it comes to guarding receivers, except guarding number two receivers. They're 25th in DVOA guarding number two receivers. So, I think it's going to be a Debo day. We've seen Shanahan's predecessors, the Packers, the Dolphins, during the regular season anyway, have some success using getting the ball to their slots, using play actions, using motion. So the ultimate equalizer, knowing Spags is going to blitz like crazy, is to throw a screen. And then that's where Samuel comes into play. So I think it's going to be a Debo day. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has a couple of big plays when he's matched up against a safety or a linebacker.
All right. Well, this one may tie in to that answer as well, too. So the Niners Super Bowl odds are always interesting because their quarterback is not always necessarily the best player. And we see a lot of value hanging around those skill positions. So if I like San Francisco to win this game, where is my MVP bet going?
Man, 2 weeks ago, we could have had Debo 60 or what, 65 to 1, something crazy like that. I think it's down 40 to 1 now. Yeah. I would go McCaffrey or Debo. I still would lean towards Debo, but for the reasons you said, it would take one of those like four touchdown performances from Purdy to win this. Even though he's, you know, the underdog story, I think people are going to gravitate toward the bigger name, quote unquote. Again, when the 49ers need something, like those are the players they rely on, and it's Debo. So both players are good for an explosive player to a game. I just can't get beyond in their biggest games, whether it's the Eagles, whether it's the Seahawks, like Debo had his best games. I think in those three games, that three-game stretch, he had 344 yards and six touchdowns. So my answer is Debo.
And a lot of ways to hurt you. That's the thing, too. They just try to find the ways to get the ball in his hands and a lot of ways to hurt you. All right.
He could sneak some red zone carries in, too, for a touchdown.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we've talked about all this fluffy stuff like Super Bowl odds and props and players and stuff like that. Let's get to the real nitty-gritty here for Super Bowl Sunday. It's novelty prop time. So I'm going to get I'm going to get your take on the national anthem length. We'll have the 90 and a half seconds for the over-under, the color of the Gatorade bath, and then the opening song for Usher in the halftime show, which may be a market that I have far too much invested in as well. So let's start national anthem, Reba McEntire. Is she going over or under 90 and a half seconds?
Reba is a talker. She is going to draw this out, and it's going over.
Okay. Color of the Gatorade bath. Now, Coach Shanahan said he liked orange. So, and we've seen the market move towards orange because of that.
I'm purely guessing here. I'm going to go yellow because that's my favorite color, my favorite Gatorade.
I bet orange because it's my favorite, and I always bet water because they're going to have water on the sideline. And the last one here, opening song for Usher in the halftime show.
So Process of Elimination leads us to just because it's the most, you know, uplifting type of song. Like he's not going to come out and sing a lovey-dovey song out of the gate, right?
No. And is priced like it's almost not even worth betting on it for first song.
Is it even money?
No, it's like -10,000 to be like the first song. It's way out of proportion in terms to be the first song. I was able to get in on like Song to Be Performed market. So I have like You Make Me Wanna at a really good price. I have You Remind Me at a good price. Those could offer some. Those are two like classic hits. They could offer some value as a first song hit too as well. Before we let you go, like I said, you gave us some winners on Thanksgiving. Let's see if you can do the same on Super Bowl Sunday. Give us your two best bets for Super Bowl 58.
So all week, I mean, for the last couple of weeks, I feel like we've been hearing nonstop about the Chiefs. I think the Niners money line, for everything that I've said, if you go on DraftKings right now, it's minus 122. Like, that is a very good price for a price that was probably minus 250 a month ago. So I think that, and if you want to, just keep, you can be patient. It'll probably keep dropping because there's probably going to be some more Chiefs money that comes in. How much that drops, I'm not sure. But again, I think it's just an overreaction of what we've seen in the playoffs from these two teams. I think the Chiefs have been more fortune. They've been the beneficiary of good fortune. The 49ers haven't played their B game even in any of these games. And I think if we get anywhere close to their B game, or let alone like a peak game, I think they're in good hands. And then I have to go back to Debo. All right, stick to my guns here, over 58.5. If he's going to be involved early and often, that was the case against the Packers. And if we get a mismatch on a linebacker or a safety, that's 30 yards, 25 yards right there. So we're cutting it in half. And then assuming we get at least four more touches, we should be able to cash. So hopefully we get another early cash with Debo.
All right. It worked on Turkey Day, so it might work here on Super Sunday as well, too. Kyle, thanks so much. Tell the people where they can follow you, where they can read your work.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, KP_show. Go to NinersNation.com or just type in Kyle Posey on YouTube, and that's where I am.
All right. Stay out of trouble in Las Vegas, buddy, and enjoy the
game.
No
guarantees.
All right. Thanks so much. Making his Sharp 600 debut is Jordan Foote, deputy editor at Arrowhead Report, here to give us some unique insights into the Kansas City Chiefs and their chances to win a second straight Lombardi, and maybe sprinkle in a little action along the way, too, with his favorite bets. For Super Bowl 58, Jordan, I said, do you ever get sick of winning?
Man, it's an insane run, and it's not completely normal, and I think people are finally kind of adjusting to that, hey, they don't have to be the next Patriots, but they might be the next best thing, and that's pretty unique for Kansas City.
Yeah, so this kind of ties into my first question with you. The market was very aggressive towards Kansas City when the Super Bowl odds hit the board. It was a rare move towards the Super Bowl underdog. Generally, we see more action early on the favorite. Some say that the wrong team is favored. Do you agree? Should Kansas City be the chalk?
Man, it's hard to fault anyone like from a pessimistic standpoint, because they played like a banged up Miami team, then they played a banged up Buffalo team. They didn't look very good in the regular season. But also the flip side of that, Mahomes is what, like 11-1-1 against the spread all time as an underdog. Yeah. He's won two in a row as an underdog. The Chiefs clearly in the playoffs are a different team than the regular season Chiefs. So realistically, I do think that KC, it's pretty even, but it's also hard to see the Chiefs being an underdog just because of how they keep stepping up and answering that.
Yeah, it's a big reason why I actually bet the Chiefs to win outright as well, too. But you guys do have some notable injuries on both sides of the ball. You got Joe Tunney on the offensive line. You got Almenihu missing from that pass rush on the defensive line. Which injury worries you the most heading into this matchup?
Man, Joe Tunney's an all-pro, right? So it's hard to navigate that loss. With that said, though, I know Javon Hargrave's on the inside of that defensive line. Nick Allegretti's a really, really good backup. And you flip the situation to the defensive side. Almenihu played like 90-something snaps in the first two rounds of the playoffs before getting hurt in the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs might rely on a first-round rookie who really hasn't played much to replace him. So in a game where you need to get pressure on Brock Purdy, I think the Chiefs' defensive line is going to have to get some pressure. I necessarily wouldn't say Felix and DK Uzama props are worth getting into for the Super Bowl, but I'd say Almenihu is a little bit more significant, even though Tooney's a better player.
Yeah, and a lot of guys benefit from him being on that side, too, and just how much of a matchup problem he is for a lot of offensive linemen. The Niners, we talk about slowing down the Niners. They have a ton of game breakers out there, which means you kind of have to pick your poison. What is the best approach for Spags in this defense when taking on the 49ers?
The Chiefs are just going to trust their guys, and they've been doing it with Legarius Sneed all year. It's worked. He has held people to their unders consistently. Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, like Stephon Diggs, just completely had a very good year. And then Trent McDuffie, one of the best nickel corners in the NFL. He was an all-pro this season. I think it comes down to the run game for San Fran. And really, Christian McCaffrey, obviously fantastic player, breaks a ton of tackles. They block everything up very well. They run zone really often in San Fran. The Chiefs are like a bottom three, bottom four team defending that. They're also just not a good run defense in general. So there's one kind of matchup specifically that I think could turn this game for San Fran, it'd be controlling the clock, running the ball, and committing to feeding Christian McCaffrey.
All right. So Super Bowl always, AFC, NFC, non-conference competition. Doesn't get a whole lot of tape relative, you know, actual useful tape, but these teams did play each other back at the Super Bowl in 2020. They also had a game in October 2022, a non-conference meeting. The Chiefs win both of those. Is there anything that we can take away from those matchups and kind of apply it to how we're handicapping Super Bowl 58 odds?
Well, with Brock Purdy now taking over, like, you can only take so much from it, but Patrick Mahomes has come alive in both of those games. That first Super Bowl, obviously kind of slow start, then came alive in the fourth quarter. The last game, he had like 420 yards and three touchdowns. So you can always bet on Mahomes to usually get his. But San Fran in that 2022 matchup, they ran the ball 21 times for 101 yards. That's 4.8 yards per carry. And that was with CMC still getting kind of into the fold. He only had eight carries in that game. So again, San Francisco rushing, I'm really leaning into that. And I think that that's kind of going to be their meal ticket if they have success this time.
All right, we'll swing our attention to the Super Bowl MVP odds. And for the Chiefs, it's really Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce. If I like Kansas City, is there anything else, anyone else I should be thinking about for MVP, or is it really just going to be one of those two guys?
I think it's going to be one of those two guys, but I like Rashee Rice as a sneaky good bet. His odds have like been climbing to about, I think, plus 5,000 as the time we're chatting. So 25 targets in the playoffs so far, 20 receptions. Played 89% of the snaps in the AFC title game. A stat I found interesting for San Fran, 17th to 25th in EPA per play allowed, either behind the line of scrimmage or short area left, short area right, which is where Rashee Rice is going to get the ball. So you take that, you take the crossing routes, you take the stuff he's been doing. I think Rashee Rice could have a sneaky good game.
All right, I like that too. I got Rice to score a touchdown. That was one of my first Super Bowl bets was Rice to score a touchdown. And he's fantastic against zone as well too. Novelty prop time. We had some fun with this on the podcast last week, but it's Super Bowl, so you got to talk about this stuff. We've got anthem length over under, and we're given the total at 90 and a half seconds for the color of the Gatorade and the opening song for Usher in the halftime show. So is Reba McEntire going to go over or under the national anthem here at 90 and a half seconds?
I always want to go with the under, and then I always look dumb. And recently it's been going over. The fastest YouTube version of Reba doing it is 83 seconds, and the prop opened lower, kind of been going up. So I'm going to take the over for Reba. I'm also going to take orange for Gatorade.
Nice.
Kyle Shanahan saying that he likes that, and I think those odds are good.
I heard that.
Yeah. And then either OMG or DJ Got Us Fallen in Love for Usher. Like, I could see him eventually getting to some of the more Usher stuff, but I feel like you have to open with something literally everyone and their brother is going to know.
Nice. Are you, Jordan, are you a big Usher fan at all? Or
I'm honestly not a big Usher fan. I kind of was talking with a buddy and told him my confession was that I don't love this setup, but generally America does.
All right. And we'll close it out here. We'll get your two best bets for Super Bowl 58. They can be anything. They can be side total props. You want to bet on Taylor Swift's shirt color, whatever you want, buddy. What are your two best bets here for the big game?
So I'm going two Chiefs props. I'm going to go Isaiah Pacheco over 16 and a half rush attempts. He's gone over that three out of his four last games. The only non-hit was the divisional round against Buffalo where he was at 15. I think the Chiefs are going to feed him. Chris Jones over 0.25 sacks. He only has half a sack this postseason, but this might be his last game as a Chief. And I think he knows that he really needs the Super Bowl to help boost his market maybe a little bit and end things the right way. So I could definitely see him getting either a full sack or maybe a half a sack.
All right, they're going to need a big game from him on that line, that's for sure. All right, thank you so much, Jordan. You want to tell the people where they can follow, where they can read your stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. At Arrowhead Report on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. At Footnoted, F-O-O-T-E, Noted. And plenty of coverage coming up either this week after the Super Bowl, into the offseason. NFL draft is coming up, so super grateful for the opportunity to come on.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, man. I hope you enjoy the game, and I'll say go Chiefs because I got money on them, so go Chiefs.
Right on. I like it, man.
Once more, into the fray, back again for one more NFL Sunday is our guy, Joe Osborne, host of Covers. Before You Bet, we talked about the early wagers last week. We talked about the novelty props last week. But the markets obviously are just growing and expanding all the time. I can't remember seeing this many Super Bowl bets. So, Joe, Tell me what else you've added to your Super Bowl card here for Chiefs and Niners and what you like. Of course, odds courtesy of Bet365, and they are subject to change before kickoff. So, Joe, what have you added to your cards?
Yeah, let's start with Christian McCaffrey to win MVP, plus 400 over at Bet365. Right now, I think he's a great option outside of the two quarterbacks. So, yes, I do like Kansas City to win the game, but I'm not going to put all my eggs in the one basket here. And if San Francisco wins, McCaffrey's going to have a really big game here. And the 49ers really should be looking to rely on this guy quite heavily because the weakness of this Kansas City defense is against the run. They come in at around 25th in yards allowed per rush attempt. You check out what he's doing in the playoffs so far, filling up that stat sheet. Four touchdowns, around 260 total yards there. And here's the thing. If he gets into the end zone twice in this game and the 49ers win, he has had seven games this season where he has had at least two touchdowns. I think it'll be hard not to give him the award unless Brock Purdy has a lights out performance. Mm-hmm. So I think McCaffrey, an excellent bet there to win MVP.
Yeah, the Super Bowl MVP odds for the Niners, and they were like this back in 2020 when Jimmy G was under center. They're always very different compared to, say, like the Chiefs, where it's like the quarterback and then everyone else. So definitely some teeth on McCaffrey. I went with Brandon Ayuk, receiver for the Niners. I went over 61.5 receiving yards. That's minus 110. Ayuk's number is a bit wonky in the playoffs so far. In two games, just six receptions. He has 100 total yards receiving, but 51 of those gains came on one catch. But he's been targeted 14 times, so he's still very much involved in the offense. I expect him to be even more involved here. I expect Kansas City to find the end zone early and force San Francisco to have to pass a little heavier. And Ayuk has been great against man coverage, and that's what he's predominantly going to see against Kansas City. He actually ranks out as the fourth best wide receiver versus man at PFF. He averages close to 20 yards per reception versus man. And then he's had big days against man-heavy schemes as well, too. Baltimore, Tampa, Cincinnati, those teams he's been able to put some big yards against. Player projections for Ayuk are very positive, too, all above this total of 61.5. Some calling for 80 yards. I don't know if he gets there. My number was around 72, which is still plenty of headroom for the over. So, Joe, what do you got here? Second bet. Wrap it up.
This is probably my favorite bet for the entire game. we're playing the hits. You know, that's what I love to do. And there has been, there's been no greater hit for me than second half unders in Kansas City Chiefs games this season. It has hit in 18 of their 20 games. So let's go back to the well one more time here. So the second half of their games have averaged just 14.4 points. I should have mentioned the second half total for this game is 23.5. The trend 3-0 in the playoffs. Kansas City has allowed just 10 total second half points in the playoffs to the Dolphins, Bills, and Ravens. Three pretty good offenses there, I might add. And then you take a look at how these teams match up. Both defenses are really good against the pass, and both of the teams like to take their time with the football. The 49ers average the most seconds per play in the NFL. Kansas City, not very far off. They like to take their time. So let's go back to it one more time, under 23.5 for the second half total.
Till the wheels fall off.
And they won't.
and they won't. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I'm going to go with this, maybe not the sexiest one, but I'm going to go Chiefs over 1.5 field goals made, minus 115. You got Kansas City kicker Harrison Butker. This guy has the big game experience, and he's been flawless during the postseason so far. He's perfect 7-for-7 on field goal attempts in the playoffs, hit some tough field goals in Buffalo, hit a big 52-yarder at Baltimore. And the Chiefs' offense has looked better, but there's a dirty little secret with this team. They are leaving points on the table. They're just 6-for-13 in the red zone in their three postseason games. And the Niners defense, admittedly, has not been great in the red zone, has not been great on third downs, but this is a defense that cannot let Kansas City walk away with 7 points on those. They got to make them settle for field goals. This one going to be indoors as well, too, so Bucker's not battling the elements. Andy Reid trusts him without a doubt. I think we're going to see two or more field goals made from him. Like you said, two very good defenses, so I expect KC to be settling for a couple kicks, and he's good for 50-plus yards. So I like KC over 1.5 field goals made. So there's a lot of first-time bettors that get involved with Super Bowl. This is their first foray into sports betting. It's everywhere now. However, it is a tricky game to bet because there's so many options and you want to go heavy on it. So if I'm a first-time bettor or someone that's new to the market, Joe, what do I need to know about betting Super Bowl? What's a need-to-know tip?
Well, it's getting a little late now, but you shouldn't wait until the day of the game to get a lot of your bets in, especially if you like pounding these player prop over wagers, which a lot of people do. So with that said, if you're getting some action down on the day of the game, consider taking a look at some player prop unders, because these things have been on the board for 2 weeks by the time the game gets here, and a lot of them have been bet up. I know Travis Kelce, his receiving yard total and catches is on the rise, so that might be one to target. Possibly look at situations where you can get a good middle in, potentially. But yeah, you got to keep in mind, the NFL, this is the most efficient betting market in the world, so you might not get the best bang for your buck on the day of the game, but there might be some spots you could take advantage of all the casual bettors coming in and driving up the prices, and you might be able to grab some good under prices on game day.
Yeah, 100. And unders not the public play, that sexy play that people want to gravitate towards. They want a high-scoring Super Bowl, so definitely some value there. For me, I always preach about setting a narrative for the Super Bowl. So if you like San Francisco, if you like Kansas City to win, figure out how they win. And does that involve a defensive game? Does that involve a shootout? And then you can kind of figure out your spread and your total plays. And from there, you kind of have to work backwards and say, okay, how are things going to trickle out? You don't necessarily want to start betting against yourself. If you like the over in this game, then things like over on passing yards from Brock Purdy, over on receiving yards, you're probably going to see a lot of those high chunk yard type situations. And so you don't want to start betting again on the over and then all of a sudden start taking the under on passing props and things that would feed into that. There's so many bets that you can make here that it's easy to step on your own toes. And the other thing I would say is keep it fun and keep it light, because it's a Super Bowl. You don't have to go apeshit. You don't have to just unload with 60 plus bets, get in over your head. Bet what you're comfortable with and keep it fun. It's Super Sunday. It's the last football game that means anything until September. So let's enjoy it. And don't be that one asshole at the party that puts their fist through the TV because Reba went under the national anthem. So before we let you go, Joe, let's look ahead to next year. Let's look ahead to the 24-25 futures markets. Any teams out there that stand out to you? We can talk odds to win the Super Bowl or just some teams that you're targeting that you think will have a better season next year.
Yeah, a couple of bird teams. Let's start with the Eagles. At the midpoint of the season here for Philly, they look like one of the better teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Then the wheels just completely fell off. Losing both of their coordinators really came back to bite them quite badly in the second half of the season. Also, they had a ridiculous schedule, so that didn't help matters. But this is a team that has all the talent in the world. They brought in a couple good coordinators to run the offense and the defense, so I think they'll be right back into the mix here with a much lighter schedule, I might add. And a team that is under the radar potentially, I like the Arizona Cardinals to take a big jump here.
All right,
next season we saw Kyler Murray come back. He looked pretty sharp. Jonathan Gannon looked like a pretty good head coach in his first year. A lot of people thought the Cardinals might not win a goddamn game last season. So I do think that they actually did overachieve a little bit, and they are positioned quite well in the draft here, either to take Marvin Harrison Jr. or the best offensive lineman. So, yeah, I think things are looking up for Arizona, and I think Philly bounces back.
Yeah, Arizona played a lot of good teams tough this year, too. So they really stepped up in competition. I'm looking at the Bengals as a possible Super Bowl option, sitting out there, plus 1,400. Burrow's a top five quarterback, if not a top three quarterback, when healthy. And, of course, when healthy is definitely has to have an asterisk to him. But we saw how good this team could be when they kind of put it all together. They beat San Francisco. They beat Buffalo. And while the defense didn't really rank out that well overall, a lot of that had to do with the offense just not being able to move the chains when Burrow was playing with one leg or he had Jake Browning under center. And they had to play a lot of minutes this year. Like I said, Burrow is the elite quarterback that you build upon. Still going to have Ja'Marr Chase, likely going to have Tyler Boyd there. We'll see what happens with T. Higgins. But I do like Cincinnati. And there's a guy, too, that's beat Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. So he's that grim reaper for them. Also looking at the Indianapolis Colts. They're plus 5,000 to win the Super Bowl. I don't know if they win the Super Bowl, but a team that impressed me a lot this year. The Colts were close to making the playoffs. They were in the mix. And considering what happened to them throughout the season, it's pretty impressive. This is an offense from a brand new coach in Shane Steichen, who basically molded that offense around Anthony Richardson as a dual threat, kind of a Philly light based on what he could do with Jalen Hurts there for the Eagles. And Richardson was a force in the few games that he actually played before he got hurt, but they were able to keep it together. They were able to stay competitive. Gardner Minshew came in. That offense was among the most aggressive and the most potent out there. And the 2024 schedule, if we look at them, a lot of their top opponents, their toughest foes, they do play them at home. They play like the Steelers, they play your Dolphins, play the Bears, the Lions, and the Bills. They all have to come to Lucas Oil. A long shot to win the Super Bowl, but again, much like your Arizona pick or Arizona kind of spotlight, I think they're a team on the up and up, and I expect some big things for them next year. That's it, Joe. Thanks so much for everything this football season. Good luck on Super Sunday. Enjoy the game. Get some chicken wings and whatever else you like eating into you. And we definitely appreciate your time all season long here on the Sharp 600.
Absolutely. Thank you, my man. Best of luck to you as well, and best of luck to all of the great listeners out there.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Timeout on the play. At Bet365, they don't do ordinary, and that's why you get more boosts with them than anyone else. Every day, they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. They boost specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. Keep an eye out for the biggest and best odds with their incredible super boosts. There's going to be plenty of those coming this weekend, so keep an eye out for those. Check out the boost and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus or 18 plus in Kentucky. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms and conditions apply. One more boosted SGP for the final football game of the year, and you can find this same game parlay at Bet365. Odds, of course, subject to change before kickoff. We're going with Patrick Mahomes to throw two or more touchdown passes. We're going to go with Kansas City receiver Rishi Rice to score a touchdown. And we have Kansas City to win the game outright. That SGP comes out to plus 325, but Bet365 is going to boost it to a plus 400 payout. So that is Mahomes, two plus touchdowns. Rishi Rice to find the end zone, and Kansas City to win another championship. It's paying plus 400 on the Sharp 600 boosted SGP at Bet365. 2 minutes real time with Aaron Waterworth, trading manager at Bet365. Let's get an update on the money line. How is liability looking here when measured up against the overall Super Bowl futures for the year?
How you doing, Jason? Thanks for having me. I think, you know, a few weeks ago, was talking about how San Fran would have been one of the results we definitely wouldn't have wanted. It would have been the worst result at the time. Since then, tides have changed. KC is now the team getting most of the action. We're seeing about 70-30 split. And that's from early Super Bowl prices during the conference games where we were doing them in play and then shortly after. And since the money line has come out, it's looking at about 70-30 KC to San Fran. So we're now hoping for San Fran.
All right, let's talk about this spread. It's kind of parked in a dead zone right now. Are we going to see a move up to three or a move to one?
I don't see a move to three. I could, you know, I think if this is going to go anywhere, it's only going to go towards KC. I don't know if that's going to happen. I imagine if it's like last year, that's going to come pretty much in the day leading up to the Super Bowl. I think, you know, that's the only slight move you might see is a little bit of move to KC, but I don't see this going towards San Fran at all.
All right, total park to 47.5. Yeah. Generally, the over is the big public play. Are we going to get a 48 and a 48.5? How's action been shaping up on the total?
I still think, like I said last week, I think this one's a patient play for those who want to go under. I don't see this total dropping. I could only see it going up. The rate of play, again, much like the money line, the rate of play is about 75-25 to the over right now. And that, I anticipate the plays on that, a lot of fair weather plays coming out on Sunday. So I think if you're an under player, hold firm until the day.
All right. And the prop markets, I mean, there's you guys have a thousand of them up.
Yeah.
Give me the biggest adjustments so far. What notable sharp money is hitting certain props right now? What props are we seeing that?
I think one of the ones that KC's total first downs, that was an 18.5 line juice to the over. That was getting touched up a lot, so we're now 20.5 flat on that. That doesn't sound like a lot, but the total first downs in the game. That's a pretty big move. Kelce anytime touchdown, not so much a sharp play, just everybody loves Kelce. He's getting more bets on TD scores, whether it's anytime, first TD, whatever TD market it is. Kelce's seeing more than McCaffrey is, which really makes no sense, but. That's also a price play. That's gone from minus 105 down to minus 125. Total punts over 7.5 now, -125. That's from a small plus money against it. So sharp money seems to like first downs, but it also likes the total punts. So going to be some differing opinions there about what's considered sharp.
All right. We've, again, blown through 2 minutes. But hey, it's a big game, big 2 minute drill here.
It is.
Super Bowl MVP odds. Give us an update on where these are at. Any sleepers out there that are drawing any attention?
Is it a sleeper? I don't know. Debo was 33-1. He's down to 25.
Yeah.
Mahomes has gone out to +125 now from +115. But CFC's come down a little bit, so a little bit of offset in the margin. We're trading there with a very low margin book. Travis Kelce, very popular play, so he's been chopped down to 14-1. He was as big as 20 or 22-1, I think, just when the new book came out. So a lot of plays on him, but I'd say the one that's getting the kind of outsider look is Debo.
Okay, and the Niners are a weird team where it's like you've got four or five guys.
He's the kind of player that, you know, because of his ability to catch and run, he's the kind of player that, you know, you would not be shocked if Debo has a big game and San Fran wins. You'd figure that means Purdy's had a good game. But Debo is, I think, you know, he's the one that's being looked at outside of the main top of the market.
All right, cool. And we've talked about all these other Super Bowl markets. Let's get down to the most important thing.
Wow.
Gatorade color. What's the action? Where are the adjustments? We saw Kyle Shanahan talking about his orange is his favorite color of Gatorade, yeah, or his favorite flavor of Gatorade. Yeah. How is that shaking up things?
Orange was the play. We were seeing a lot of action on orange, so that had come down from... We had it at $5. We went down to $4.50 on that. Yellow green is a drifter, not very popular. Was early on. Now we're not seeing much on that. Blue is the big mover. Blue was +$4.50. Now we're down to +$2 on blue. So somebody seems to be saying something about blue. I don't know, but blue and orange are the ones taking the most of the market.
All right, duly noted. And let's get your last bet here for NFL season. Your best bet for Super Bowl 58.
I'm going to give one defensive, one offensive one. I'm taking Bosa to record a sack at -115.
Okay.
I think this game's going to see some touchdowns. I'm not sure it goes over the total, but I like the touchdowns over 5.5 at -105. I think late in this game, you know, the ability for these both of these teams to score late in the game, I think that's a decent prop to play instead of playing over the total.
All right. Well, that is it for the Super Bowl edition of the Sharp 600 and our final football pod of the year. A little bit of a tear there, but a big thanks goes out to Aaron for joining us all year long. We're going to have you back as we pick up the podcast in the post-football world, but appreciate all the insights, all football season.
Whatever you want to talk about, I'll be here for you.
All right, buddy. I appreciate that. Big shout out goes out to our producer, Dell, as well, too, behind the scenes, and the whole team at Covers. A big thank you to Kyle and Jordan for joining us here today to talk about their respective teams. And a massive thanks goes out to you guys for listening each and every week throughout the football season. We appreciate that. We're going to transition into post-football world in the coming weeks. We're probably going to take a couple weeks off before we get into things. NBA basketball, March Madness on the way, the Masters, a lot of big events out there. So, you know, let us know what you want to talk about. Let us know what you want to hear. Stick around. We're going to have some great, great podcast episodes for those big events as well, too. And a reminder, too, when you get a second, please rate and review the Sharp 600. Like I said, give us some feedback. Let us know what you want to talk about here. Once Super Bowl is all wrapped up, I hope you enjoy your Super Sunday and best of luck with your Super Bowl bets. At Bet365, they don't do ordinary, and that's why I get more boosts with them than anyone else. Every day, they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. They boost specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. Keep an eye out for the biggest and best odds with their incredible super boosts. There's going to be plenty of those coming this weekend, so keep an eye out for those. Check out the boost and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus or 18 plus in Kentucky. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms and conditions apply.